most familiar with are the regular meetings. These are the bi-monthly meetings of the mayor and council. They're held the second and fourth Mondays, typically. The code requires they're held a minimum of one time a month, but typically we hold them at least two. As far as preparation for those meetings, Kelsey really handles the lion's share of that process. Things need to be to Kelsey no later than noon the Wednesday before the meeting, preferably earlier than that. We'd like to get them posted to the website by 5 p.m. on Wednesdays, the Wednesday preceding the Monday meeting. Right now, of course, things are being handled a little differently because of our restrictions on public attendance at the meeting, so we have enlarged and enhanced our ability to take public comments via email, phone, mail, so that we have those in preparation for the meeting, and then maybe members of the public don't necessarily need to actually be in attendance. Basically, as I said, you're all kind of familiar with how the regular meetings go. There's nothing too unusual there. Public hearings of the mayor and council are a legal requirement in certain instances. They were required to hold public hearings anytime an ordinance is adopted, with the exception of an emergency ordinance. I think in the time that I've been here, there have maybe been half a dozen emergency ordinances passed, so I'm not really going to get into that. If it comes up, we'll explore a little bit more. All other ordinances have to be adopted via public hearing, certain resolutions, and there are some other matters that have to be done by public hearing, functions perhaps imposed on us by the Public Service Commission, certain grants, financing mechanisms, that sort of thing. They follow a particular protocol for the opening of the hearing, inviting of comments from the county and the state and the public, closing the hearing, discussion, and then passage of whatever the item was. 99.9% of the time they are held in the course of a regular meeting. It's felt that that encourages greater attendance than a public hearing held on its own might, and so that has been the most effective way to do that. Excuse me. Executive sessions. Dave Gaskell spoke to this a little earlier today. They are closed to the public. There are very specific reasons that executive sessions can be held, and I've listed just a few here. Personnel matters, real property acquisition, to obtain legal advice, discuss litigation, and there are certain procurement discussions, particularly preparation of bids. Anything that would sort of give away our hand in preparing to accept bids for a contract, because obviously you want the bidding process to be as equal across the board to everyone as possible, so you don't want to discuss specifics that might encourage one contractor over another or something like that. Negotiation of contracts, if we are negotiating with one contractor, that is allowed to be closed. Matters like that, the way to look at that is we're protecting the privacy of a third party. Just as in any other situation, a third party has a certain amount of rights to privacy, and executive sessions are one way to protect that. Anything that is decided on to move forward in executive session will then be discussed in public. In other words, you can vote that, yes, we will proceed with this contract to go before the mayor and council for public approval, but ultimately it has to go publicly. So even if it's discussed in executive, it does end up in front of the public at some point. I know that's a lot of information. As Dave Gaskell did say, though, items that are discussed in executive session are not to be discussed outside that room. That is very important. Again, in some cases, many cases, you're protecting the privacy of a third party. So it's not just the town's business involved. It can be someone else's as well. The last two meetings are work sessions, which we're doing right now. Those are basically for the purpose of training, discussing things, but never for decision-making. It can be the discussion that leads up to a decision, but the decision cannot be made at the work session. And the last type of meeting is a town hall meeting. This is not an official meeting. We're all familiar with town hall meetings, particularly this year in as an election year. It's more just for a back and forth between the elected official and the citizens. It's not, you won't find this in our code or charter anywhere. It's a much more informal meeting setting. Should we elect to go to a slightly more formal Robert's Rules, the only addition that we would have to our current process would be a second. And that is something we kind of ran into the other evening. We've never really followed that, but it's just one more step. It's not, you know, and that's something that...
And I think that would be our major deviation from what we do now, would just be asking for that second. I'm kind of upset that I forgot to bring that to Dave's attention before he left. But I think that it'll add some clarity to the way that we do business. And I know some of us are more familiar with Roberts than others, but I think that the big change would be calling for a second for each motion. So I don't know if we have to do that formally. The council has the ability to adopt their own rules of order. I don't think there's anything truly on the record.
No, I don't think it's anything that you need to be to
Can
have a formal. Yeah, you can just start that protocol.
Okay. So should we make that announcement at the next meeting before we begin?
That would make sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if by consensus, as long as the council agrees, we can move
right.
forward.
Right. Right.
I'm glad to hear that. I think it's important.
Yeah. I think it.
I think it clarifies the process somewhat, and when you delve into Robert's Rules, I mean, entire books have been written on Robert's Rules, so clearly this is just a very brief summary of how that works. But each step sort of allows a motion to move on or die. And so you have the initial motion, the second then takes it to the next step and opens it up for discussion. That sort of thing. So it does add clarity to the overall process.
To me, that's the most important aspect. If I make a motion, no second, it dies right there, and we don't waste time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So we'll make that announcement at the next meeting.
Okay. Other than that, really, the protocols are what we've always done. The second is really the only addition to that protocol as far as making the motion, discussion, putting it to a vote, that sort of thing.
And then I'm going to add to it more for the mayor or for the vice president. I know we've deviated at times and we get back on the straight and narrow at times, but when we finish up the items on the agenda, when we get near the end, where you now ask for comments from the press, the public, yada, yada, that needs to happen. You need to ask those questions, comments from the press, comments from the public. Okay.
And I think we miss the other elected officials sometimes, right? Like, is it state and county? Do we have to ask that?
For public hearings, you do.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know. Sometimes it's been thrown in even with the regular meetings, and I don't know if that's just...
Typically, I don't recall a specific incident when that may have happened, but typically it's a function of a public hearing.
Okay.
Obviously, you can ask for comments...
But if
it's a given topic, maybe asking for comments from the state or county or acknowledging comments that have been received makes sense.
Okay.
But the only time it's sort of a requirement, part of the protocol of the meeting, is during public hearings.
Perfect.
Which is, if you turn to the back of that smaller handout that I gave you, there's kind of a lowdown on how a public hearing works. The main difference there is following the introduction of the purpose for the hearing, the agenda item, then the mayor would open the public hearing by announcing the public hearing is now open. If there's other information, sometimes you may have, for instance, a representative of a person who is asking for whatever the process that the public hearing is being held for. For instance, the easiest one is an annexation. If someone has applied to be annexed into the town, then that individual or their attorney or other representative may at that point make a presentation as to why they're making that request. After that part of it, the mayor would request questions from the county and the state and the public. The public has the opportunity then to speak. Once that portion of the hearing is concluded, the mayor would close the public hearing The item then moves to the mayor and council for discussion, and it goes from there.
The only other thing, for executive, the full list of the things that could be covered.
Yes, this is only a small list. The full list is included in your Open Meetings Act manual.
And it's also in the mayor and council package. When
yes.
you go to do the approval, you'll see that form yeah. in there.
There are a number of things that apply to certain elected bodies but don't apply to you. For instance, you will very likely never be grading a scholastic exam. But that's one of the reasons that an executive session could be held under the state law. Yeah. yeah. So.
Thank you.
And I guess the only other thing I want to add as I think about it, and I really appreciate what Mary has done putting this together. Some language that's in the Open Meeting Act manual that I do want to share, just as an FYI. The Act defines the verb meet.
Where are you, Jeff?
On page 1-7. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraph down. The Act defines the verb to meet as to convene a quorum of a public body to consider or transact public business. The Act does not apply to a chance encounter, a social gathering, or other occasion that is not intended to circumvent the Act. So what am I getting at? You guys call one another up, you three here, and you say, hey, let's meet at Range Week. We got to talk about something. Don't do that.
That's a meeting. By law, that's a meeting.
Okay. But you're down here for, we're pre-COVID, post-COVID, whatever. Christmas parade, you all three meet on Main Street here, and you're saying, oh, that floats great. That's not a meeting. So just be cognizant of that fact, because people are going to be watching, people are going to be listening. So chance meeting's one thing, don't discuss business, but don't set up a meeting amongst yourselves. Two is another issue, okay? Two is a whole separate issue. Two people can gather and talk, but three cannot because it's a quorum.
And so I believe Dave Gaskell also sent an email out following the election reminding you that things are not to be debated by email.
I was about to say, you know, when you reply to emails, typically it's best to reply just to the person. So if Jeff sends out an email to all of you guys letting you know something, don't reply all and start a chatter on that.
No discussion.
Yeah.
So in our situation, Dave Fitzgerald invited us to tour the firehouse, all three of us.
I would say the only caveat there would be that you would avoid discussing budget, discussing that sort of thing. But to just tour the facility should
actually,
be okay.
We just spoke with Dave Gaskell, and I think that the direction that we're probably going to head just to make things a little cleaner is, and we've reached out to David Fitzgerald, so this shouldn't be news to him either, that in order to make it so that we all get the same information and we can all see everything, we're going to try and reschedule that tour so that it's a time when all members of the council can go together. The press will be invited also, and then we can tour that. Just that way it's a little bit more transparent, it's a little bit more clean. And so Thursday evening will probably not take place.
Not happen.
Okay. So will then somebody reach out to us about the...
Most definitely, yes. So Joanne will probably take care of scheduling that for everybody with the fire department and the council. We'll find some time.
Our company.
Fire company. I apologize. They are our company. And so that way we can at least try to get everybody there. I think it would be very important.
Good?
I think that's good.
Okay. Questions before we get into the fun stuff? The funner stuff. There we go.
Funner stuff?
The funner. The funny. The fun. The funner stuff. All right.
Jeff, go back.
Yes, sir.
I stand corrected on our webpage. The policies, the general order manual is on there. It was mandated 18 months, Lieutenant Fisher said. The only policy we don't have on there is the body camera, which is the newest one, and we'll try to go ahead and update everything after the new mandates.
Thank you.
Okay. I also had one other clarification. It's on the slide regarding executive sessions, but items that were not put on the agenda for an executive session are not to be discussed. In other words, don't come into the session and say, hey, let's talk about this, if it wasn't already out there that you were going to talk about that. The only exception to that kind of thing would be, say, if someone involved in the town was, I don't know, undergoing a medical treatment, and you were to say, hey, how is so-and-so doing? You're okay with that sort of thing. But if it's some sort of official business of the town. And the reason I say that in the context of executive is because you may want to ask that question in a closed session versus an open one for the privacy of that individual.
And I shared this with Jay yesterday, so because we met one-on-one, and you and I will meet today, hopefully. But one that stands out in my mind, I call this a big no-no. And we had an executive, this is years ago, we had an executive session, we were talking about personnel, you weren't here, personnel matter. And we were making a decision on a hire. The individual worked for another municipality in the state of Maryland. That individual had not provided their employer any indication that they were interviewing. Okay, so we made a job offer, and we had someone that ran to the media. And now it's out on the media. We're hiring so-and-so. That person hasn't even given notice. So think about what the potential ramifications were with that. Good intent. I'm not going to say good intent, but it was something that I firmly believe that should not have happened.
Another thing that won't be any different for any of you, but for Dean and Troy, it probably will be different. We will come to the dais first for executive when we have executive sessions. The reason that we're going to meet, or the proposed reason why we're going to meet in executive, will be read from there, and we'll take a motion to go into executive from the dais, at which time we'll go into the conference room, and then we'll come back out here when we're done.
Post-COVID. Right now,
correct.
Executive yeah. sessions are held in this
yeah.
room.
Yeah, technically. So, post-COVID. Thank you.
And yeah. you can go with what the mayor is saying. We can go from convening, going into executive session, coming back, doing the regular meeting, and you potentially could go back into executive mm-hmm. session. So, be a long night, potentially. But
yeah.
I mean, but they've happened.
They've happened.
So, is it, Zach, do you set the agenda for the executive session, or do you, well, how does that work?
We set that together, but yes, the mayor and town administrator will set the agenda for the council meetings and for the executive session.
So, if one of us has an issue we want discussed in executive session, we
just
bring
let
it
us
beforehand.
Know.
Mm-hmm.
We ask for that in enough time that the packets can be crafted
mm-hmm.
And the documents, especially now, because we don't have everybody in attendance.
Very good point, and you just made my mind think. The packets that you folks get,
I told them, are different.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
so
do not
different.
Share yours.
Remember, there's some confidential information at times in that packet that you get versus what
the public gets.
That's right, so be very cognizant of that.
Yours will include the executive session minutes, which you guys would approve in executive, or I guess not in executive session. You would approve them at the regular session, but they are included in your packets only, not public packets. So
right.
you cannot share that because that is a confidential
yeah.
meeting. So
Now, the one question that I've always had, mm-hmm. and it's not really come up, but I've always wondered, if there's a change to the executive minutes,
well,
how would you do that?
And it's happened. And if you say, you know, in paragraph 2, line 3, change word, you know, change was to is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't give away the rest of the subject matter, the rest of the discussion. If it were to be a really major point, we'd have to sort of play it by ear. And I would say that if you spotted something in the executive minutes that you felt an open discussion of would give away too much information, I would say discuss it with David Gaswell, and he'll advise how to proceed with it.
It's my understanding in the next executive session you submit an amended set of minutes.
Yeah, you could do, yes. We've never had... we've never had such a big change to the executive minutes that it warranted action like that.
Right.
Usually it's a typographical or a is-was kind of, as the example I gave. So I honestly don't know. It would be a learning experience for all of us.
Well,
if we had that kind of a fundamental change.
Right. Can we move on now?
Well, just to make sure that we've answered the question, if you have something that you want to talk about that you think is a closed room discussion, send it to Jeff and myself, and we'll try to put it on if it meets that criteria. Likewise, for the regular public council meeting.
ultimately, we refer to it as the mayor's agenda.
Right.
Obviously, there are things that we add to the agenda all the time that he won't even be aware of until it's there. They're, you know, routine housekeeping type items, but ultimately, it's the mayor's agenda.
I don't want to be out of line here, but I do know other municipalities, not all of them, everybody does things a little different, but I do know others do approve them in executive. I don't know if that's all.
Oh, the minutes themselves.
Yeah, the executive minutes get approved in the executive session. That's something maybe if you want to explore more, I could look into, but I have spoken with other clerks that's how they do it in their municipalities, but
we've not had the issue. I'm not saying
yeah.
Have,
yeah.
It's never come up with me up there, but I just wanted to, it was always a question I had.
All right. So, I'm sorry, real quick, how long, if we wanted to put an agenda item on, how much?
Packets are noon Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah, but things won't just be put on, if there's something that needs diligence and stuff done beforehand or department input, I would say send them to us. It might not be on right away,
right.
But we will try to address it. And some of the stuff, you might send it in, and it might be better to address that with a department head and a staff meeting rather than putting it on a public meeting agenda. But we can work through all of that.
Okay. I mean, there's 2 weeks between meetings.
Yeah. As far in advance as possible.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Just as a point of reference, Kelsey releases the packet on or about noon on Wednesdays. Okay. The public packet.
I guess it's just a little bit more to speak to her point regarding the fact that you get a slightly different packet than the public. When she sends you the packet, don't then forward it to somebody. Keep in mind that there may be things in there that are only for your eyes. You can reference them to the website. You can send the link.
The one that comes through Constant Contact is usually the public one, and I copy you guys on that as well, just so that you have both if you want to see any differences.
Okay. All right. Next, Natalie is here, and today is not intended to be A through Z budget 101, but it's intended to give everyone a very broad overview of the process. Okay, because it's a lot of information, a significant amount of information. So, let me help you.
Okay. Here's some CDs. And it's a lot in here, so I'm going to say my intent is to make everybody somewhat comfortable to look at what I'm going to give. Do you want one?
No, well, okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
So I'm not expecting you kind of like say, okay, now I know how to read this or I understand exactly what it is, but today it's pretty much is to get comfortable of what you're looking at. And then as we go further in the future, to understand more and more how everything works together. So in the past, somebody said that, think of it as a town and a government as your body. So you have a big brain and a heart, and all the limbs as the infrastructure, and all the blood vessels, and all of it connects back to your brain. So in your brain, it's very important that everything is clear, transparent, and healthy. So pretty much the role of a finance department and a town in general, mayor, and of course council, is to make sure that everything works perfectly out there. Not to the extreme, but close to it. So I have brought with me today several things that we will be dealing through the year and touching. There's printouts. So I'm going to start with the first as the budget.
And let me pause you real quick for the folks that are maybe tuned in. The documents that you're providing here today are available on the web, correct?
So the budget, the audited financial statements, they're all online on our website in PDF format. So anybody can print it, pull it, look at it. It's all public knowledge, all public information.
That would be the audited financial statements through FY19,
yes.
Because 20 has not yet been presented and approved yet.
We're working on fiscal 20. We should be getting audited financial statements in December to be presented. So the budget book is a finalized, approved budget. and we have a line budget. It is a balanced budget for each individual fund. There are several funds. There's, of course, a general fund. There's electric, water, sewer, stormwater is our youngest fund. Each fund operates individually on its own set of revenues. General fund operates on the set of revenues, and it's very unique and different from all the other funds. The enterprise funds, if you think about it, they act as a business. They're utility funds. General fund operates on the revenues received from the taxpayers, grants, and interfund transfers. And so it depended mostly on the taxes. So the biggest revenue stream for the general fund is taxes, of course, grants, and several other revenues. So the process for the budget, pretty much all year long. We meet as a department meetings on a quarterly basis. We go line by line through the expenditures with each other. We discuss what we would like to see next year. We discuss where we stand as of today. Monthly, I'm going to shuffle around. Monthly, you will receive a profit and loss report from me. That looks like that. And all of this in your green folder. So the first column is pretty much the same thing, what's in this book, but you also have a fiscal activity, which is where we stand as of right now. So this one particularly you're looking at, called budget report account summary, is as of September 30th, so fiscal 21. This report will compare the actual revenues collected and actual expenditures as of certain date and compared to the approved budget for this particular fiscal year. And I just want you to stop me at any time and say, hey, too fast, too complicated, go back so we can... My goal today was you to leave and be okay with what you have.
Now, those reports, let's hypothetically say you pick the phone and say, is there any way I can get a, can I get another copy of the P&L?
Sure.
The date that she runs that, if she runs it today, it's accurate as of today, okay? Or if you want it as of a particular date.
As of July.
Right.
I can run a report showing you what happened as of July.
Is that going to be part of the quarterly report that
good point. So monthly you're going to receive this. I'm going to go over that. And then also quarterly, you're going to receive a quarterly report with my input, where we stand on financials, how the revenue looking like, how's the expenses looking like, what happened. Because sometimes emergencies happen, especially in winter. The pipes busted and we spend a lot more than what was projected to be spent. And then biannually, which is after 6 months into the year, I will come to Mayor and Council and do a presentation so everybody can see where we stand in 6 months, and then another 6 months. But every month you will receive that in PDF and Excel format. Excel format look a little bit difficult to look, but Councilman Dean Burrell would like to have Excel all the time. So if you don't want Excel, you don't have to look at it, but PDF is the easiest one to look at.
Natalie, do you ever do any comparisons to the previous year expenditures or
yes.
revenue stream?
Mm-hmm. We do that.
It's not in this report.
It's just not in this report.
Okay.
We do. I can run this report as well, and you can look at it anytime you want. Actually, the comparison for the previous year is in the budget book. So if you look at the budget book, let's open, for example, so you can see how it looks. Page one. And you have fiscal 18 total activities, which is the finalized numbers. And then you have fiscal 19 finalized numbers. Then you have 20 year-to-date when the budget was printed. And then we have adopted 20 budget, adopted 21 budget. And then the difference is between 20 and 21 budgeted amounts.
Good.
So all this could be found here. I'm not going to go line by line through the budget, but at the end, there's a budget calendar and the process of how the budget process works. But basically, we first start the conversations way earlier in the year between the departments. Then we're going to go into the work sessions with all of you together in the public settings where we discuss as a draft. We do general funds separately, and then we do utility funds separately as well. Then the budget is introduced. Then we have a certain time before a budget is adopted. So it's all kind of like a lengthy process through the year. Budget workshops is the time where things could be discussed, changed, proposed, questioned, line by line, in total, whichever like way you like it.
Councilmember Nur yesterday asked me the question. I'm making an assumption when I say this, that the last budget year or the budget year prior, whatever the case may have been, that you were here for the part of the budget process. But what happens, I call it off cycle. It's not a quote public meeting, but it's a work session. So people are invited, obviously. As Natalie mentioned, those work sessions are from your perspective or where the nuts and bolts really come into what you want, you know, you want tweaked, you want to know why. Because everything that's prior to the work sessions, that's where the department heads, Natalie and I, sit and then do our stuff, if you will. So we do our part. When I say we, the department heads, Natalie, me, then it comes to you at a work session. You guys get your input on that. Department heads are here. So, you know, I'm giving you a black and white question, as I call it. You look at line item whatever. For the current year, let's say it's $10,000, and then for the FY22, it reads $35,000. Somebody's going to say, well, why'd you go from 10 to 35? Department is here. He or she is going to say, you know, a good example would be, you heard it today from the operational departments, infrastructure, you know, water resources, and a large majority of their piping and their valves are 1940 era vintage. So, good example this year in 2020. Jamie had budgeted, I think it was $30,000 for valves as a good example. He's probably spent $55,000 right now based off of a budget of $30,000. Why? The valves were bad, they needed to be replaced. So you got to make, we didn't know they were going to go bad, okay? And we thought we planned well enough. But again, that infrastructure is 1941-42 vintage. So we've got our money's worth out of it. So we've got a means where we're covering that. You got to pull from another line. So that's going to be deferred until next year now.
So the budget is a balanced budget. The budget is a line item budget. I'm throwing a lot of words up here, but to understand, meaning that we budget every single line for every single revenue stream, for every single expense. We don't budget as a group. It's line by line. It's combination between percentage increase or a projection on the actual reality based on the past trends. It is a zero budget, meaning we started from scratch every fiscal year. So we don't roll over, carry over. Pretty much that's the nutshell of that.
So one question. In the case of the chemical spill where the town had to allocate money to clean that up, that money wasn't budgeted. Where would that come from?
So I'm gonna touch on that a little later for the purchasing policy. So in case of emergencies and in case of unbudgeted or unpredicted things, we'll look first in within the budget itself, within the fund. If there are resources available, then there is also a budget amendment or a budget adjustment available. The difference is the budget adjustment is within the authorized purchase power of the town administrator or a department head to move that from some other source and increase that particular line item. If it's above the purchasing power, then it would come in front of you as a budget amendment for approval to increase or decrease, change the line item.
And that limit is $10,000?
For Jeff, it is $10,000. I'm going to touch on that with the purchasing. So then we go on. So how do you know who spends what and how we control that? Purchasing policy. I'm including that in your green folder as well, that have bullet points of how and why and when in control.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but this purchasing policy was revised and adopted, I want to say 2015-ish?
Yes.
Yeah. Roughly.
Roughly.
I don't remember the exact date.
October. So the purchase, we have a centralized purchasing. What does it mean? It means that one particular person accepts requests for creating requisitions. Of course, each department has the right to create a requisition. Requisition is initiation for a purchase. Before you even think about it, you have to decide, okay, can I buy it? Is it within my purchasing powers? Is it necessarily so that it goes through the whole entire process? If that determined and finalized, then a requisition created. So basically, requisition is initiation to expense from this particular account, so it will encumber from your budget a certain amount that you're requesting to spend on. Then it goes through the process, obviously, if it's high amounts or unusual amounts or something brand new, it goes through the bidding process or qualification process. If it's a small amount within the purchasing power, each department has limits. A person who is authorized to do purchases is 1,500. Department head has 5,000 limit, and the town administrator has 10,000. Anything above that is out of the ordinary, meaning that it's not a established contract with the repetitive vendor or something being approved already at the beginning of the year, would have to go in front of you for discussion and approval. Once the requisition created, then the department have a right to purchase that or expense or request the service. Then once the invoice come in, they review it, make sure everything is correctly, they approve it on their end, and then it becomes a purchase order. A purchase order will be attached to the invoice and processed for payment. I'm going really fast, but you can stop me at any time. So basically the purchasing policy is a somewhat outline to understand how it works for purchasing and within the departments. So each department is responsible for their own budget and within for their budget limits. So what happens if somebody have one account that they thought they will need, and I'm just going to be like simple, $5,000 in supplies, and all of a sudden through the year they realize, well, we don't need it. But then we have $5,000 that we're over budgeted in advertisement, for example. I'm just throwing random stuff. So the department have a right to request to move the funds from one line item to another line item, as long as it's not changing the bottom line of the total budget. Once it goes through, approves in the system, I can reprint the report, we will see the changes. If it's above and beyond, then of course it's gonna go for approval from to Mayor and Council, and then you would vote on it. So that, and then also I have pretty books that are binded in the plastic hard spines right here. The thicker one is the financial statements. The thin one is the auditor's communications. We have PKS and company, public accountants, as our auditors. We have a great relationship with them for so many years. They also have an independent auditor who then, as a final product, reviews our financial statements. So they issue the financial statements. They review every single thing from our financial system on annual basis. It takes about a week, week and a half to provide them with all what they request. Then they review, and they put it in those pretty books. The thinner book is the management, pretty much auditor's communication letter. They put there all the findings, comments, observations, things for improvement for the town. I'm proudly going to say that in the past, I want to say 6-10 years, we haven't had any negative comments, and I hope it's going to continue going this way. The financial statements, I just want to point to several pages for you so you kind of like know what you're looking for. If you open page 16, I'm sorry. 14.
Natalie?
Yes.
The smaller book, is there findings from the town based on what they've gotten from the bigger book? Am I understanding that correctly?
They go along with each other.
Uh-huh.
The small book is basically a narrative, a letter. After they review everything, compile the financial statements, they put a letter for you to read and say what they have seen, how the things look like through the year. So it's basically a finalized narrative report for you to read and see what needs to be improved, if anything, or if everything is great.
And is it available to the public?
Yes.
And how many years back do we have it online?
Several. I don't know off the top of my head, but it does go back a number of years.
If anybody wants it, I have all this in PDF in our OneDrive, which is backed up every day, so I can email it.
We don't leave them on the website forever just because we'd end up with a list, you know.
My message is to you and also to the viewers who are out there now, because I heard it more during this last election, but you hear it throughout the year. Audited reports, they're out there. And again, for everybody that's tuned in, anything that was presented to you all today is either online. I know 99% of what was given today is found on the town's website or the respective department websites. But if anybody wants a copy, we'll give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But financial audits to an independent auditing firm have been available for a number of years in this town. Okay? And if you need an explanation, again, this is directed at you three, as well as anyone out there, if you need an explanation, it's available. Okay?
Absolutely.
That's a lot of information. Okay? It's not, I mentioned to Council Member Nery yesterday, this is not your personal checkbook, as I call it. Okay? I think everyone has a basic idea of a personal checkbook. Okay? It's a little bit different.
But speaking of a checkbook, if you would say, Natalie, I want to see what exactly went into this particular line item, I can print a detailed report and show you every single transaction and every single description. It's all transparent. It's all available.
Then going in the packets this week is a change to what the way we've done business over the last few years. Mayor Tindall has asked that, and I'm going to make it simple, the check register will be in the packet for you all and for the general public as well. So it'll be there. It's making the packer weigh a little bit more.
We're taking a couple trees out in the process.
Okay. But it's out there as well. And this meeting that's on Monday, I'm not going to say it's abnormal, but it is abnormal based off what's the norm as far as how much. But going forward, what you will get are the check registers. They'll stop whatever goes into that packet today on Wednesday, today at noon, not Monday's meeting, but the meeting 2 weeks from now, that will pick up everything from today
to the date that that package was published.
And I also email the detailed check register report to you on either weekly, bi-weekly, depends how the check runs. I think you already seen it because I put you on email. It's for you to review, question if you have any, just send us an email or a call and ask if you would like to see something in particular. But basically, the check register is a summary, weekly summary of the expenses, what we paid out from the town.
Can I add one more thing? What's on your mind? Checks, okay? Obviously, monies go out, if you will, two ways. Correct me if I'm wrong. Well, three ways. I guess it could be with cash, but it doesn't happen. Money goes out via check or wire transfer, okay? So there is a process on the checks. Natalie's fiscal specialist, Shirley White, back here, you know, issues checks based off the processes that Natalie has explained. Those checks are prepared, they're reviewed by Natalie, and then they come downstairs for both Mary and my review, and then the checks go out. The wire transfers, another process. The approval sources are...
It's very similar.
Yeah.
It's every single process have an internal control, and so many processes are actually written down and reviewed by the auditors on an annual basis. So whether it's a wire transfer or an actual life check, there's several people involved, there are several steps, and there is an approval process from initiation, review, approval, and the finalized mailing. It's not a one person, it's all separate people in the process.
And that same thing holds true to back it up to the elementary level. That would be with payrolls. It's not one person's eyes. It's more than one person.
But Jeff going into very detail, which he told me not to
go into.
I know,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It was on my mind.
And I just want to add one other thing that people don't always necessarily, they're maybe not aware of it, or they don't realize it. The processes that we have in place are not necessarily things that we just came up with and decided, oh, let's do it this way because it'll be whatever. They're generally accepted accounting principles. These are processes that are developed by, you know, the accounting gurus out in the world, not just in the town of Berlin. So, you know, they're not processes that we just thought up one day. They're time and industry tested principles and ways of doing things.
Good. Okay.
So generally speaking, who signs the outgoing checks? The mayor?
There are two signatures, Jeff's and Mayor's.
Jeff's and Mayor.
I have to sign every single one of them.
Leave it at that.
He's
lying.
So let's go to page 14. I'll go fast just for you to kind of be familiar with what this book looks like. And the funds are described and summarized separately in this book. The first, of course, is the main fund, is our general fund. And this is the snapshot for general fund for June 30th, 2019, for fiscal 19. The bottom line right here is the total fund balance. And when you see the fund balances, there are several categories. Just to be familiar with those categories, I have provided you, it's in your green binder. It's key finance concepts, basically a description, what it means and what it is. You can read it your free time just to be familiar. And if something that you want to question, please email or call. I will explain you in details. Also, I have included a little graph-looking, box-looking, homemade visual that basically ties to that page 14. And this is our fund or reserve balances. That's for general fund only. So our general fund consists of non-spendable, restricted, committed, assigned, and unassigned as a total balance. I'm not going to go through all the numbers. look at them, compare them, and I'm pretty sure you're going to come and see me and meet with me, and if you have any questions later, we can discuss. But right now, it'd be a little bit, we're all getting tired for today. Next page I want to point out is page 19. And that's pretty much similar to what is for general fund, but for all of the utility funds. Kind of a snapshot of electric, water, sewer, and stormwater, and the totals on the bottom. Then I want to point out on page 34, and with that page, I also provided a summary with green blocks, which is in your green folder. It's a bond schedule for all funds. So the printout is of 6:30. I have updated the numbers, but the description of each individual bond you will find on page 34 in financial statements. So basically, this is that. This is what a liability of the town of Berlin. General fund carries several bonds for the total of 3.4 million. Electric fund carries 3.9. Water fund is a lucky one because we have paid all the debt several years ago. It has nothing, zero. Sewer fund is the largest one due to major wastewater improvements that have been done several years ago, and the purchase of 2 spray sites. So all of those properties are bonded, and we're still paying them each year. But if you want to see the actual terms and the description and the interest, it starts on page 34 in the thick book or audited financial statements. And then final tab in the financial statements starts on the 49. Well, of course, you're going to read the whole book at home, I'm pretty sure, along the line. But page 49 have a summary for each individual fund and a comparison for 3 years.
What's the other 49?
So you would see here what kind revenues and what expenditures for each department. So here we have 17, 18, 19. Obviously, when we get the 20s, it will be 18, 19, and 20. So this great book will be available each year. The budget, once it's approved, of course, is going to be available, and it's all available on the website as well. Let me see if I'm forgetting
last year's audit preliminary, that's going to be presented when?
December will be the finalized. Sometimes November we'll receive the draft. And what happens when we receive the draft, I review it basically line by line, word by word, make sure everything that we've provided ties. And in the past, I have not found that something was inconsistent. Then Jeff looks at it. Then we invite the auditors on site here. Jeff and I will sit down with them and discuss everything. Then once the draft approved, it goes to finalized report. The finalized report is taken then by the individual person totally from the auditors who reviews it and signs off on that. And then it comes in front of you for final presentation. So that's the audit process. I think I've touched on the budget.
Just 2 questions on the bonds. The cost of the police station, that's not bonded?
No. The cost of the police station, the reserves being advanced from the general fund reserve. The monies were advanced from the reserve to finish and complete the police station. And now the monies that we're receiving from the slots revenues going back, basically it was if you want to call it in-house financing, that's basically.
So it covers that debt. And what about Heron Park?
Heron Park is the 2016 taxable public improvement bond.
Gotcha.
The one thing I'll say that was at least helpful for me when I was taking this on, and correct me if I'm wrong, the budget looks forward at where we would like to go, and then the audited financial statements look backward at where we've been. So if you're looking at the documents in that way, it's helpful.
Yes. And the budget is your guidance for what the year upcoming basically is a helper for each department. And the financial statements is an reflection of actual years in the past. Any more questions? Observations? Once again, I just want you to be familiar. I don't want you to be overwhelmed. Please do ask all questions. Email myself or Jeff. What I would like to ask from you, if you don't understand something or it's something that not really familiar, please knock on my door constantly. And when I say door, my door is open, but I'm saying bug me with the questions till you get it, till you understand it, so that when you go out there in public and try to speak publicly or ask questions from the dais, it doesn't sound like we are having miscommunication.
Would you be able, or someone, is this available in the email, the calendar, the budget process?
So the budget calendar is established every year. It's a totally different page with the dates, date by date. When
that's
the
just
workshops,
a guide. It's not
just a guidance of a process itself. But you will receive the actual calendar before we actually go into the workshops with the dates, advertisements, when the real estate tax adopted, when the budget going to be discussed, when we're going to meet, what time, where, etc.
And that document, that full document, is available on the website.
The budget.
Budget schedule.
And the budget
and that document in your hand.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Yes.
I don't mean to skedaddle, but I have a 12 o'clock.
I just want to add one other thing, and I touched on this earlier, but I want to reemphasize it. You did not come into this job and then suddenly gain this magical knowledge.
She's got new stuff.
But the people who work for the town have been working for the town for a long time. They've gone to school. They've gotten certifications. They know the town. They know their areas of expertise. Don't feel like you have to know all the things that all 75 other people know. Ask the questions. And to Natalie's point, we ask that you not launch things from the dais, because what it does is put staff in a position of either having to sit in silence because they don't want to say to you why something won't work, or trying to give an answer that they're not prepared to give. By all means, ask questions from the dais, but don't look for the answer that minute in the course of the meeting. It's a courtesy. It makes everybody look better when we have a chance to answer these things appropriately, rather than being forced to either tell you no publicly or not be able to comply with what you're asking for publicly, because we know reasons why it can't be done that way.
And no one likes to be blindsided.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's not even that. I don't like to say something. Sometimes questions come that I'm not even having all the information in the moment, and I would say, I'm sorry, but I'm going to get back to you. I would like to be as soon as possible giving you the answer. So giving that notice or having that extra research time, that's what we're basically asking for.
There's no hidden agenda.
No, absolutely not.
Yes.
And I would add, on the other note, why would you go ahead and wait till Monday to ask a question that's 10 days old?
Yeah.
With us and what the function we do, the sooner we get information, the sooner we can go ahead and correct things. And again, you wait 10 days to go ahead and tell somebody something, your constituents, that's time you could have already had it resolved, already discussed it.
The one thing that I shared with Council Member Nur and Councilmember Horace, and I will do it with you later. So we'll just get it out in the open. In the years I've been here, one of the most amazing things that I think I've witnessed more than once is on a Monday evening up here, when we meet every 2 weeks. So when somebody makes a comment that on Monday, that the night after the last meeting, when I was going down such and such road, I saw such and such on the road. Can you have somebody look at it? Well, it's been sitting there for 2 weeks. Why don't you just pick the phone up that night? Okay.
And 9 times out of 10, when you'd say it Monday night, it's fixed Tuesday morning. It could have been fixed
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago when you saw it.
Okay.
But what I have to ask all, just look at it at your time. Come meet us. We'll be glad to talk to you. My whole department will be so glad to talk to you. So you can understand and meet us in person and just not think of it as just the finance department.
Natalie, good presentation.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Very good.
Thank you.
That was not a presentation.
Any questions?
I think you covered it. Well, when we talked, you covered it, but I just want to get it out there that we're okay emailing department heads direct.
Correct.
Okay. That's
now, the only thing I'm going to add to that, sometimes when you do mail with a specific question, and if this question is kind of concerning everybody and overall, I would give my answer and I would copy every council, including Jeff and the mayor, because sometimes you ask a question and then somebody else will ask the same question. So just, you know,
and if you, and very good point. If you ask a question to me, whether it's verbally or whether it's in writing, I'm going to share it for all, because what I don't like to do, if it indirectly somehow would affect your district, let's say, I don't like you blindsided by it. So,
right, like if I had a question about district.
Yeah, if you ask, that's right.
One final thing that I want to add. In the past, when people approaching you out there, your constituent up in the open public, especially when it's concerned to the utility billings, water, sewer, electric, stormwater, please defer all of the citizens to the billing department first to resolve the issue. Because sometimes when you slightly promise or incline to do something, people tend to take it as you would take care of it immediately. So it becomes a duty and a responsibility of a council, which is not. It's the duty of the staff to resolve this issue.
And remember that the utilities, I mean, the electric utility, hands down, we don't regulate it. It's regulated by the state. That's from the time you flip the light switch.
That is outside our control.
That's right. So I'll go out and imply, that's the key word. You know, it's happened, what I'm telling you. Somebody has said, I'll take care of it. So you're the citizen. What does that mean to you? So I don't pay my bill for the next 6 months because you're supposed to take care of it. Okay? So to Natalie's point, something like that, don't put yourself in that situation. Just the right answer is reach out to the billing department. Okay?
And it's the same concept with the police department.
Very good.
You end up having a phone call to Joanne or the mayor and they have a complaint about a traffic stop or whatever. And again, I said, I've been at least with 8 to 10 mayors, over 12 town administrators, and I have to go ahead with the mayor and say, Mayor, I'll show you what we do. This is the recording, this is this, but you can't go ahead and take that phone call. You have to go ahead and say, we're referring it to the police chief, he'll go ahead and take care of the complaint. The mayor can't take care of a complaint, he can't investigate a complaint. So, again, there's no need to go ahead and start down that path when it's not your responsibility and you don't have the legal preview. So, again, those things come at my feet. If someone's complaining about me, you don't call me. Go straight to Jeff. And everyone else with inside the department has to go ahead and come to us. We'll make the decision if it's something we need to go ahead and internally investigate or if someone
use us, you use the staff, you use department heads as your immediate helpers to be on the learning curve and just be open-minded and going forward.
And the last thing I'm going to say before we hit the button when we're done, this room is your office. This is your office, okay? So, I'm trying to think, how many years ago did we redo this?
A few.
It's been 5, 6, 7 years. You know, the approach with the council that we had in the seats at the time, this is your office. Give me some ideas. Okay, so this is not that old in here. The furniture is relatively new. The dais was a pine color. We changed that to match the tables that Natalie found for us here on the ends and where you're at. Carpet's probably 6 years old. It's your office. Okay? That's what we need. It's a public meeting place, but it's your office. Okay? So remember that. It's your office. Anything else? Okay, we'll end the work session that we started at 9. So, Mary, if you would go ahead and hit the button. And then, Shanika, do you have a few moments?
I have 5 minutes.
All right, what time are you?